Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy gets scolded and Tyler leads a math lesson.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Our new Diamond Nano technology acts as tiny ball bearings that keep the boundary layer strong, smooths out the metal surfaces, and is virtually impervious to heat and pressure. This keeps you in your rig rather than under it. High performance is more than our products, it's our lifestyle. Bestline Racing.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about all your feedback about Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies, germs, kiddos, boys, girls, gentlemen, gentle ladies, gentle women. I am your host today, Tyler. Joining me in the Snail Studio is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jett, our co-host. Jimmy, how are you?
Doing good, Tyler. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm excited. I had a great weekend hanging out with everybody up for my bachelor party trip. So we had a good time. We'll fill you guys in, tell you about it on Thursday, all the shenanigans. So
yeah, definitely. Yep. During our would you be butt.
With a butt.
With a butt segment.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but I named episode 93 the With the Wabut.
I did not notice.
Did you catch that? Oh, man. So if anybody's wondering, for some reason we're wondering what the hell is going on with episode 93, why it's just a bunch of random letters, it has a meaning. You have to listen to episode 93 to figure it out. But this is episode 94, and I want to welcome Dino back to the studio.
Woo! Dino.
We need our crowd noise button.
I know.
Crowd noise. So Dino, welcome back. He's nodding. He didn't want to talk last week on last week's episode, so we took his microphone away. We didn't even set it up today.
Yeah, he's a little shy.
So yeah, Dino's back. We had a great episode with him. He was able to get a lot done for us during the episode, which is really nice. So we decided to keep him around, give him another shot. So it's a unpaid internship, at least for a little bit here. And then if he does continue doing a good job, we might start paying him in, mob armor koozies. So, so everybody welcome Dino back. He'll be around for a little bit longer here. We very much appreciate him being around. So, and welcome back Jimmy. He's done a decent enough job. We decided to keep him around too, I guess, for, at least until episode 100. But that's when his contract is up, so we have to renegotiate Jimmy's contract after episode 100.
Hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do this one. We'll see. So cool. This is episode 94.
I know.
So an even numbered episode, which means it's a Monday.
Before we jump into the main topic or the campfire discussion, I wanted to just say that I really like your idea for episode 100.
Episode 100. I forgot what my idea was with the, because are you talking about the game show?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So funny, I talked with Jason about that from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Okay.
And he likes the idea as well.
Okay.
So we just need to find a way to make it work, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea, and I think that the hardest part is trying to figure out the action items, you know, of getting it to work and laying it out and, you know, figuring that out. But I think that idea is going to be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. We got to find a way to make it podcast worthy. I mean,
yes.
Done for podcast.
I have some ideas,
so.
And I'll talk about them later with you, and maybe we'll have Dino be a scribe at that point.
But, okay. Because, the way I had envisioned it, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It'll be a lot of fun, blah, blah. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, it's all set up for video. So it'll be great, mm-hmm. I think, to put the recording up on YouTube. But the audio for the podcast, I don't know how that would turn out, because it would be a visual game show, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways.
We'll chat. I have some ideas.
Okay. So anyways, we have a really, really fun idea for episode 100. We're going to need two listeners to commit to helping us for episode 100 if we follow through with the game show idea.
Yeah. Well, let's not commit to that yet, because I think my idea requires a lot of listeners.
A lot of listeners. Yeah. Okay.
So, but we'll give you more information on Thursday.
On Thursday's episode?
On Thursday's episode. Okay. So pay attention to that. And the way that I see it, we're going to need a lot of audience participation.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Well, so we got some things we need to figure out, and we'll get that done by next week's.
Man, we're going to start advertising. We need to start kicking in the social media, getting ready for this. We should probably figure out what we're doing first. So, anyway, we'll talk off fire. This is episode 94. So, this is a campfire discussion episode on a Monday coming into your ear holes. And today we have a fun topic, I think, which is mainly based around you guys. So today is going to be listener feedback day, where we take your questions and some of your feedback and answer them. Or if it's not really a question, it's in there for a reason. So we can talk about a similar thing that we've done and hope that it sparks some ideas for other people out there. So that's on the docket for today. But before we get there, I want to remind everybody that Gear Wrench is doing their Ultimate Garage giveaway. $35,000 worth of tools.
Yes.
And toolboxes and lights and creepers and stools and mobile workstations and all sorts of stuff. $35,000 worth of stuff delivered to your house by Kurt Busch. So check that out. We're going to put the link in the show notes here for you guys. So all you got to do is click on it. The contest has not started yet, but the link will take you to the page where you can see the details of everything they're giving away, as well as you can sign up to get a reminder for when the contest starts.
Yeah, definitely.
So check that out for sure.
I would be ecstatic if one of our listeners won.
That would be so freaking
cool.
I'd
be even more ecstatic if I won, but I'd be super ecstatic if one of our listeners won.
What if
won
I
as
won?
Well. I'd be very happy for you.
Okay. That's good.
No, I'd be happy, because then I'd probably get to use some of the stuff.
Yeah.
But you're like, I really don't have a lot of space to put all this stuff, so yeah.
I can't
let's just outfit the snail shop. Yeah.
I can't fit this wall-sized toolbox in my garage.
Right.
So yeah, make sure you guys check that out. Click the link below. That would be freaking awesome if one of our listeners won.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, make sure you guys get signed up for that. It's going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, we have our monthly giveaway, which is from Gear Wrench as well.
We do, absolutely.
So we've got I'll do it backwards since we've been saying it all of it one way. We have the Fender magnetic fender cover.
Okay.
That's a really nice piece. So I think it might be a leather or pleather or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
With magnets on it so that you can it just snaps right on to the fender, so you can lay it over the fender so you can lean against it. You won't scratch your rig. You can work over it. Doesn't get your rig as dirty. We're also giving away their brand new Bluetooth speaker, which is really rad. We've talked about that in the past where, again, it syncs up really fast. We actually did talk on the phone through it.
We tested the phone
weekend,
call abilities of it,
which was pretty decent. Actually quite decent, because I wasn't very close to the speaker when I was talking to it and you were hearing me clearly. What I really like about it is it not only does just Bluetooth from your phone, but it also do AM and FM radio.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're also giving away, and I can never get this name right.
I can't either.
The Wing Light Underhood Rack.
Yeah.
Was
that's
that it?
It? Yep.
Sweet. Which is an awesome device for doing work in your engine bay and having a light available and lighting that area up.
Mm-hmm.
So big thanks to Gear Wrench for the opportunity to hand those off to one of our lucky winners and to get an opportunity to win that. You have to be signed up on our $10 tier on Patreon.
Yep. So that's over at patreon.com/snailtrail4x4.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, of course, through the end of the month as well, we still have the Nitro Gear and Axle sale going on over at nitro-gear.com. So just go over there, plug in snailtrail15, all one word, and it's 15% off the entire website. So you can buy their entire website for 15% off. Might be a little expensive, but you can do it. You'll save a lot of money.
I believe in you.
Oh, man. All right. So, other than our Gear Wrench giveaway, the Nitro sale, the Ultimate Garage giveaway, we still have the Gear Wrench tour dates, I guess. So, we're looking at June 4th or June 5th
in Fresno.
Okay.
We need to clarify what date that is. June 9th in Modesto and June 11th in Sacramento.
Very cool. So June 4th or 5th in Fresno, 9th in Modesto, and 11th in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Cool.
We also still are waiting on confirmation if they're going to be happening for sure.
Yep.
So keep your ears open.
Yep. And I have a feeling that the information on whether the confirmation will be happening after June 1st.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very quick turnaround from when we get everything confirmed to the Fresno one on June 4th or 5th. So we'll probably have to get those out on social media because podcasts are just released Mondays and Thursdays. And some of you might not be fully caught up with those by that time as well. So we'll give the updates on social media as soon as they're confirmed as well so that we can get time frames, venues, everything out there to you guys as quick as possible.
Yeah, and Dino just showed me a calendar, and June 1st is a Monday, which means we wouldn't know until, you know, until after that episode, and then that Thursday is the 4th.
Okay.
So we would be talking about how we're out somewhere
on
that day, you know, and then that's even if we find out by that time. So, I would say, social media would be the fastest and most precise reliable time to find out.
Cool. So. One thing I really want to do with those meetups is take along our mobile studio and do little interviews with people.
Yeah.
And just kind of sit there and just do a couple recordings with people and then put them into an episode and have a fun like listener interview episode with like 15 to 20 people over the course of an episode. I think it'd be fun. Although it could also just turn into complete crap and not make it into an episode, but whatever.
We'd still get some practice and get some stuff out there and figure it out if we can handle that.
Yeah. So cool. So we got that. And speaking of listeners, we had some new reviews on iTunes come through.
Awesome.
So they're fun. The first one is from MurphDaddy76. And he said, great Toyota resource. He said, Jimmy and Tyler are both entertaining and great resources for info regarding Toyota and rock crawling. Their YouTube videos are also amazing when you want to install or fix Toyotas yourself or just veg out. So, awesome. Very cool.
Thank you.
Glad we got some more Toyota cred. I wonder how we're doing on the Jeep cred. We're doing great on Jeep cred, right? Yeah. Everybody loves our Jeep product, our Jeep content.
Sure.
As I tell all the Jeep owners that they need more air fresheners in their rigs. Anyways, so
didn't we get a comment about lattes?
I don't know. We get contents about lattes. I think Brandy, one of our listeners, said something about, hey, look, guys, I put my new air freshener in my Jeep because it has Jeep stink. And I was like, that's funny. So another feedback review that came in was from I Like Spoon. This guy's a top-notch individual of society, I assume.
Spoon's a good band.
Is it?
They were a good band.
Oh, okay.
I liked
good.
Them.
I've never heard of them before. You'll have to.
I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but I mean, I liked the band named so
you,
Spoon.
You like Spoon too?
I did.
Okay. You did?
I do. I don't know.
So he said, great blend of fun and tech. I'm a Jeep guy, but I love this podcast. Jimmy and Tyler do a great job at blending informative technical talk and fun wheeling stories and banter. Keep up the great work, guys. See? Jeep people love us too.
Yay.
No matter how much I pick on them. I love you guys. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that. I'm not really anti-Jeep. I do like Jeeps. I'm not able to physically drive one because it bugs me. And you guys make fun, easy targets to pick on. Not my fault. So the next one is from I'm going to guess it's supposed to be cranium, but it has numbers in there, so it's very confusing. But he said, great all-around information about off-roading. Said, I've enjoyed Tyler and Jimmy since they started, despite the fact that they focused on an inferior make of vehicle. Kidding aside, they are fun and funny, work on their own rigs, and other information that often applies to any rig. So, thank you guys for the reviews and the feedback. Yeah, it is really cool to see all that feedback come through, and just to see the positive, I don't know, I guess positive feedback that you guys are enjoying the show. Jimmy and I keep saying, you know, we're still dumbfounded that, you guys are having fun just listening to us sit around and BS about off-roading, which is something we do anyway. So we're just like,
yeah,
okay, cool. We'll just record it now. And and it turned into something that's been a really neat opportunity. And we're really glad you guys are all enjoying it. So thank you guys. Keep those coming in. We don't have stickers for you like Wheeling Wine and Whiskey does. All we have are crisp high fives from Dino.
Yeah. Soliciting you now, Dino.
Yeah. Oh, man. So any other good stuff before we get over into the questions?
And I think in regards to stickers, I think that's what I had a DM come through Instagram.
Oh, yeah?
From the 85 Runner.
Okay.
And he said, hey, love you guys. Love the podcast. I gave you five stars. You guys are awesome. Listening from BC, Canada.
Nice.
And I was like, wanted to respond, well, we're not Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, so you don't really need to inform us that you gave us a five-star review because we're not handing out stickers.
Stop being short with everybody, Jimmy.
I know, right? Well, then I gave an even shorter answer. I said, awesome. Thanks so much.
Oh, man. We need to get up to British Columbia.
We do. I want to go up there and I want to hang out with Dirt Garage.
Yeah. No, we need to, especially now that we know there's kind of like this dirt trail that Carl from Nitro Gear told us about, going up through Oregon and Washington up to the border there. So, kind of starts like in the northern tip of California and goes up to the Canadian border up through Oregon and Washington. So, we'll have to go and make a trip and go up to British Columbia and see Dirt Garage and
I wonder,
people along the way.
I bet Dirt Garage, once borders open.
Yeah, true, once we can.
I wonder if Dirt Garage would want to join us on that trail.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Like meet us halfway and then, yeah.
Well, just drive down to the trailhead.
Oh, okay.
And we drive up to the trailhead and then we could wheel the trail together.
Oh, yeah.
And then go our own ways.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'd be down. Apparently the trail goes right by Nitro Gear and Axle, so you have to stop by and see Chris and Carl. And
yeah, absolutely.
See those guys.
So, yeah. Clinton, if you're listening, that might be an opportunity. Let us know.
We need to schedule in some dates. Pencil them in my Palm Pilot.
Yeah. Well, my buddy Joe also wants to, with the third gen, the one that we worked on, like I think I said last time that he wants to drive to Banff.
Overland Joe?
Yeah, Overland Joe.
Okay.
He wants to drive to Banff.
Okay.
And he's like, who's free? You know, I want to go do this. And in the chat, he was saying, you know, like, I want to go and do this in late June, July.
Okay.
And I said, well, I might be available.
Yeah.
And then he DM'd me, and he was like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing it the 24th to 31st.
Of June?
That's what I said.
Yeah, of June?
Yeah, I was like, the 24th of June through the 31st of July?
Yeah.
You're like, what are you talking? And he's like, no, in May. I'm like, no, in the chat you said in June to July.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, I thought you might be able to do it sooner. And I'm like, I can't do it in 2 weeks, dude. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, I've got way too much going on to say, yeah, I can spend a week away in 2 weeks. I'm going to be gone for a week. No,
yeah.
I can't pull that off.
Must be nice to have Joe money and pull stuff like that.
Well, he's fairly high up in the medical industry.
Nice.
And that since the pandemic has been going on, they're pretty much, and it's slowed down a lot here in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of forcing some of these people that have been spending a lot of hours to have some paid time off.
Oh, okay.
And so they're like, dude, you did a lot and we appreciate everything you've done. Go take a break.
Yeah. No, that's, I just learned something new, that paid vacation time is paid out of a separate funding pool than your normal payroll is.
Hmm.
So if your employer is highly suggesting that you take some paid vacation time. Do it. They're not being assholes. They're not being dicks. They're not trying to say, you know, get out of here. They do want you to get some time off, but it's also helping to release the stress of cash flow due to payroll, so that they can pay your vacation time out of a different pool of money than what payroll is paid out of. So
got it.
It really helps budgeting right now when cash flow is a severe issue with a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So take some paid vacation time. It'll help your business. It'll help maintain everybody keeping what jobs are out there. And yeah, just do it and go have some fun. Go wheeling.
Yeah.
And go camping and go overlanding and go rock landing and make some bonfires and toast some marshmallows and cook some steaks. And if you need a nice step process on how to make a camp breakfast, I have one on Instagram. So
yeah. And if you need any advice on making s'mores, contact the_assistant_st4x4 because she makes the best s'mores.
Nice. Have you outsourced all your s'more making labor now to her?
Uh-huh.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, because I apparently did not know how to make s'mores.
Oh, really?
And was abusively corrected.
Oh, really? Did you hear Willing Wine and Whiskey's personalities? People personalities?
No.
They've essentially been able to categorize people into, I think, four different personalities that directly correlate to how you cook s'mores.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, I didn't hear that.
It's phenomenal and hilarious and completely 100% true.
Okay.
So I forget what episode it is. We'll have to have Dino. Dino, go check that out. We'll have to see what episode that was on.
Yeah.
That they talked about it. And I'll let you guys know because it is hilarious.
All right.
It's so spot on.
I'll have to sit down and listen to that with the assistant and see what she thinks.
She'd probably be like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So cool. I think that's about it. Anything else before we take a break?
No. I say let's get over to the campfire discussion.
All right. Cool. Sounds good. Go ahead and grab your Jeep stank air fresheners if you drive a Jeep. And if you're one of those inferior makes and models of a Toyota's, then go ahead and hang out. And yeah, we'll be right on back after the break with today's campfire discussion. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's campfire discussions, which is all about you. Not you as in Jimmy, you. Don't get all excited over there.
I'm like puffing my chest up.
I know, right?
Yay, finally.
No, you as in the listeners, you. So you guys are awesome. We love hearing from you guys, as we like to mention and point out every episode. So we've been accumulating some questions and feedback that we may or may have not answered individually to you guys. But we thought they were good enough questions and feedback to also bring up and talk about here on an episode. So that's what we get to do today. Yay! All right, so let's get into the first question here. The first one we have is from Ed Mondor, who is a great, phenomenal guy. He has... Do you know who Ed is?
No.
He has the yellow Toyota sushi roll.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, Ed.
So he's the one that Jason from Willing Wine and Whiskey rolled his Toyota pickup going down Windchill 5 on Fordyce. So
that was a funny story.
Yeah, hence the sushi roll, name of the truck now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, Jimmy, Hydro, Jet, and Tyler, I have an axle question. Certain years and certain models came with quote unquote auto hubs. Can you discuss the strengths and failures of them and how to change out to regular hubs on an episode? Thanks, Ed.
That's a great question.
Good question.
And I don't know too much about it.
Uh-huh.
Where's Sierra, Crawler, Ampy, Randy when we need them?
Yeah.
Let's see. So, I mean, I'm not even sure. I'm not quite positive on how auto hubs engage. I know that in some Fords, they were vacuum lines, and a lot of times they sucked and failed, and they weren't sucking.
Exactly right. 1998 Ford Rangers were vacuum actuated hubs, and they did not hold in four-wheel drive circumstances.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how they engage. You know, it's a good, and maybe you know this, and I'm not sure about this either. Do they have sort of a, I'm air quoting here, drive flange on the outside? Is the CV, is it always turning and it engages more so at the differential?
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, most of the quote-unquote auto hubs lock in the differential or near the differential.
So the CV axle's always spinning.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So yeah, I don't know much about automatic stuff.
Yeah.
So I would, so
and that,
would
that's a, the case with like most things. I know that Jeep, one of the issues with the JKs was that their 4x4 was actuated in the transfer case.
Mm-hmm.
And so their, the front axle shafts and the front drive shaft and the differential is always spinning.
Yeah. That's one of the big differences between the four wheel drive systems between mm-hmm. Jeeps and Toyotas.
Yeah.
Where if once Toyota puts themselves out of four wheel drive into two wheel drive and disengages the hubs mm-hmm. and the manual style, then no internal parts of the axle or differential or the drive shaft spin.
That's really the benefit of lockable hubs, mm-hmm. a manual locking hubs. Mm-hmm. That's the big benefit of it,
right?
Is that nothing spins if don't have those locked in,
right?
And so with the JK as a Mike, or sorry, Max from the Mike and Mike show, Max, the reason why he ended up with his Liberty was because his transfer case and his JK overheated and his transmission overheated because everything was still spinning,
mm-hmm.
even though he was in two-wheel drive. And it ended up causing a fire on a freeway. His transmission transfer case exploded on him on the freeway and burned his Jeep down.
Yeah,
so
scary and crazy.
Yeah. That's the Toyota auto, quote unquote, auto hubs are usually actuated down near your front diff, in one way, shape, or form or another. Sometimes they're after the diff. Sometimes it's before the diff. Sometimes it's inside the diff. But what that does is it's an actuated solenoid, typically that when you flip a switch on your dashboard, usually with the electronic locking diffs, you flip a switch on the dashboard, and then it locks it makes it so that your axle shafts or your CV shafts, if you have IFS, is now engaged with your differential.
Right.
So if that was not locked in, then your differential would still be spinning, and your drive shaft would still be spinning, depending on where your auto actuator is set up, your locking actuator is set up, your 4x4 actuator.
Hold on, back up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if your auto actuator is not engaged,
mm-hmm.
your tire and CV axles are spinning. The tire is spinning and it's spinning your CV,
your axle shafts, yes.
Right. But if you're not in four wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
then is your axle shaft or front diff or however that combo mm-hmm. gets made,
mm-hmm.
I would assume that's not spinning.
Correct. So it depends on where your 4x4 actuator is in line with your drivetrain, right?
Right. Okay.
So there's, in order to be in four-wheel drive,
it's in the T case.
Yes.
On Toyotas, it's in the differential.
It's down near the differential.
Yeah.
So, essentially you have your transfer case and then your drive shaft and then your differential and then your axle shafts. And then your tires or your wheels. And with a manual locking hubs, your hubs are typically, for Toyotas, it's usually ASIN hubs. And those, you have to turn them in the middle of your front wheels. And what that does, it now makes your wheels grab onto your axle shafts.
Correct.
So if your axle shafts turn, well, I guess if power is being applied, it'll turn your axle shafts, which then turn your wheels, but vice versa, if your wheels are turning on the ground and you're being ridden forward, then it's spinning your axle shafts, which then spin your third member, which will then spin your drive shaft. But if you're not in four-wheel drive, if you don't have the four-wheel drive gear.
You've lost me. You've jumped, I think. Are you talking about a Toyota or a Jeep right now?
I'm talking about all off-roading four-wheel drive systems.
Okay. So
you have to have two things engaged in order to be in four-wheel drive.
Okay. Yes.
So you have to have your transfer case engaged.
Yes.
Which transfers power from your transmission to front and rear axles.
Okay.
And you need to have your front hubs locked some way.
If it's a manual.
Well. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter either way.
Okay.
You need to have some way to lock the power in.
Sure.
Yeah.
But a lot, if it's an automatic locking hub, mm-hmm. then most of the time when you turn the dial or mm-hmm. engage four-wheel drive, you're engaging your T-case and the hubs at the same time.
Yes, in one action. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Whereas if it's manual locking hubs,
mm-hmm.
you put yourself in four-wheel drive, you have to open your door, hop out, turn mm-hmm. the dials on the wheels,
yeah.
and engage your hubs manually yourself
mm-hmm.
to get those to go.
Yeah, it's two different systems yes. to get those two actions to happen.
Right. Okay, because I was getting lost because depending on which sort of one you are doing, it kind of changes the
well, it changes order what you it changes yeah. what you the user do, but doesn't change what's going on with the vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I understand.
Okay, but so you're looking at it in terms of the user. I'm looking at it in terms of what the mechanics are doing in your vehicle.
Okay.
So
I think that needed some clarification.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, even in a Jeep where the 4x4 actuator is up in the transfer case, you can still, I guess, theoretically have, I don't know if it's possible. I don't know enough about Jeeps. But I guess in a Toyota, you can disconnect the 4x4 actuator or have your 4x4 actuator not engage correctly. And your front drive shaft could be spinning. Because you're in four-wheel drive, your transfer case is engaged, but because your hubs are not engaged, you could not have power to the front. So in order to have power to the front axle and to your front wheels, you have to have a locking hub mechanism of some sort, a 4x4 actuator of some sort, and transfer case.
Yes.
That is engaged and working.
Right. So the second part of this question kind of was, uh-huh. can you talk about changing automatic locking hubs to manual locking hubs, right?
Yeah.
That's more difficult in a way. And what I think, and I haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can just pull the hub off of the wheel and put a manual locking one on if the axle is far enough out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how that, I haven't done it. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. But even if you separate the, because more or less it's a drive flange on the end there, because they're mm-hmm. always spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, if you add a manual locking hub, is the action of the manual locking hub going to move far enough to engage the CV?
It's a good question. Yeah.
So, but if you do that, now when you engage the four-wheel drive in your vehicle, and if you had automatic locking hubs and now you have manual ones, if you engage the four-wheel drive on your vehicle, it's going to engage the four-wheel drive. It's going to engage the automatic locking hubs that's in the diff or the T-case, depending on where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not going to have power to your wheels until you lock those hubs.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know enough about it to know the exact steps or how to do it. But I mm-hmm. think that it is still possible to do that.
It would be possible. You would just be adding, like you said,
you're adding
another step in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of unnecessary with Toyotas because of where Toyota puts the 4x4 actuator. It's, in my opinion, more necessary for Jeeps since that actuator is up in the transfer case.
Mm-hmm.
So your drive shaft is always spinning, which heats up the gear oil in your transfer case and transmission, which then causes overheating issues.
Sure.
So
I think it's, you know, and if you want to take it a little step further on the Toyota side, now mm-hmm. if you're adding manual locking hubs, now we are not preventing the CV from spinning.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. I guess from your 4x4 actuator out to the wheels, if you have manual locking hubs, then you have less components spinning on you. That makes sense. So there could be a benefit there.
Mm-hmm.
Helps your CVs last longer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once again, I don't know if that's a benefit or a hindrance on... Yeah. Possibly things internally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the CV spinning or not spinning is now making things at the diff spin or not spin that should be
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would assume, I guess it would depend on if the 4x4 actuator is after the diff or before the diff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I do know that Toyota suggests that if you have an automatic locking hubs and automatic 4x4 system, that they say you should drive something like 10 miles a month in 4x4.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because the solenoids will like start sticking if you're not engaging them often
enough. Gum up.
So that's always something I've heard people saying, that they gunk up if you aren't using it a lot. So even then, maybe putting it, changing it out to a manual locking hub so you engage four-wheel drive, can drive on the road, but not lock your hubs.
Yeah.
So you have the components spin, so you're using it, but not doing odd wear and tear on your tires.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that, well, I was going to say at that point.
Are we going down a rabbit hole here?
I think we are.
Yeah.
So cool. I hope that answers the question in a very roundabout and more detailed way that, and more confusing way than what you were asking for, Ed. But there you go. That's our answer.
Yeah. And I want Beer Andy to chime in on that.
Yeah.
I need to know more about that. Man, we've talked to Beer Andy a little, or I've spoken to Beer Andy a little bit, and he's sent me some articles, and they are like crazy in depth. Like I was talking to him about switches.
Okay. Because
I was looking at switches to put into Bobcat.
We're going to be talking about that a little bit here if we get to one of the questions.
Yeah. And he sent me an article. Like 4 pages talking about different types of switches. And that's been like 2 or 3 times. And I'm like, I'm super thankful because I'm like, my brain is exploding with knowledge whenever I read these. But it's just, they're like way over the top knowledge,
you
which
have a
is
brain
rad.
Orgasm.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Nice. So yeah, we still haven't gone over the axle list and third member list that Beer Andy sent us.
I know. He asked if you've sent that to me, and I went searching, and I don't have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought I put
He's
it
like,
in
I
the...
He's like, I thought I sent that to you and Tyler. And
the
I'm
podcast
like, no,
drive.
No, I think you just sent it to Tyler. I don't have it.
Whoops. It's in the podcast drive. Maybe I just need to share it with you.
Maybe.
Okay, so cool. Here's the next question from Josh. I don't remember where it came in. Oh,
Hi,
I remember.
Josh.
It was an email. So he said, what do I got to do to get a sticker for my toolbox? I drive an FJ80 3FE Trail Whale. Pretty sure that qualifies me, right? I hate pretentious Jeep owners. I don't have a ham license yet, but I do like ham on my sandwiches. So I got that going for me too. Let me know what I need to do. Thanks. So, I think I sent this one to you. It made me laugh.
Yeah. That was a good
so
one.
Much. I was like, oh, we got to get him a sticker. But he doesn't have his ham license yet, so I told him that he needs to look into doing that. Right now, during the pandemic, you can't really do in-person ham classes or ham testing, but more ham radio clubs are starting to look into doing remote testing. So if you're in the Sacramento, NorCal area, the El Dorado County Amateur Radio Club, AG6AU is the call sign for the club. They're going to start doing, they're looking into doing remote testing now. So get in contact with them if you're interested. And also there's a club in Alaska that specializes in remote testing, and it's KI6AAA. So KI6, I forget which, I think it's KI6AAA. And so they deal, KI7AAA, not 6, there are 7 because they're in Alaska. So KI7AAA, they do remote testing. So if you're looking to get your ham license and have done all your studying and are looking to get your test done, get in contact with them. They kind of have it streamlined as a process for you. So
definitely.
And then other than that, have fun with your whale tail.
Yeah. In regards to stickers, they are for sale on the website.
Okay.
Cool. So you can go on to snailtrail4x4.com. And
how much are they? Like $2?
I think they're $1.
$1?
I actually, if you buy one, I lose money.
So buy two.
Because I break just dead even or something like that. Yeah. I think they cost me somewhere around 45, 50 cents to make. And it costs 55 cents for the stamp to send them out.
Yeah, the stamp and envelope.
You know, so I'm either right there or 5 cents off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not really making money on them. That's more available for you guys. And yeah. So if you guys need stickers or want some stickers, you can definitely go onto the website and grab them.
Cool. So we'll put that link down in the show notes for you guys. Next one, we've been talking a little bit about the Ranger Raptor here and there on previous mm-hmm. episodes.
Yeah.
So this was where we got the info from about it. One of the listeners from Down Under, his name's Charles. So Charles said, "Evening, guys. Listening to the latest episode tonight. Down here, Toyotas have sticker kits with bash plates and a steel no-loop bull bar called a Hilux Rugged X." And that's as much as my Australian accent I'm going to go with. And he went on to say, the same running gear, etc., as the SR5 version Hilux.
Oh, interesting.
But there's a bash plate and steel no-loop bull bar. I'm guessing bash plate is a skid plate, like the front
skid plate? Yeah, I think it's a front skid plate.
Okay. See, I don't know what you guys' terms are, bash plate. I'm like, oh, it's a skid plate. Come on, get with the program, Aussies.
I would assume it's a radiator / engine skid plate.
Okay. That's kind of what I was assuming it was.
Yeah.
And then a bull bar is one of those giant bumpers that are designed to hit things with.
So, yeah.
Into kangaroos
It could be that. So a bull bar could be like a bush protection bar in uh-huh. my mind. It could be one of those big, like, you know, massive steel bumper with the bars that go up over the lights and protect the grill.
Yeah.
Or it could be the bars that come out from underneath the rig and just
come up and
in
around
front okay. of the bumper as a protection.
He said a no loop bull bar. So I'm going to guess.
Bumper.
Okay. I think
I'm guessing it's a big bumper. A big bumper with the bash plate / skid plates.
So. Okay. So it has, Toyota has a sticker kit, which I'm guessing is a trim model. And so Toyota has a trim model with a skid plate and a big steel bumper.
Yes.
Okay. I had to translate that to American for us. No. So he said Ford decided to offer the Ranger Raptor as a proper off-road vehicle down in Australia. It has a 100mm wider track. I don't know how much that is in the standard. Dino, can you figure that out? Please do the conversion. So 100mm wider track, custom alloy upper and lower control arms.
Wow.
2-inch Fox lift, a 2-liter twin turbo with a 10-speed transmission and crazy electronic controls, locked differentials as factory standard. Comes with 33-inch BFG KO2 tires. Very cool vehicle. And next year, they're coming with the 5-liter Mustang engine.
In it?
In it, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm like, holy shit. You want to talk about that's how you set up a trail rated vehicle, in my opinion. So, 10 speed transmission, 2-liter twin turbo, 2-inch Fox lift, custom alloy upper and lower control arms, a wider track with 33-inch tires, factory e-locker differentials, traction control, crawl control, all that stuff.
So Dino just said it's almost 4 inches.
4 inches wider than a regular Ranger, which is about the size of a Tacoma.
25.4mm to an inch.
Wow.
So,
almost four inches. So 3.5 inches roughly. Wow.
3.93.
Yeah, 3.93. Wow. That's impressive. So I got to say, as much as I love to poop on Fords, good job, Ford.
That one's awesome.
You need to get that over to the States immediately.
Yes.
I will cry. I would, yeah, right. So either that, or if Toyota can get that over to the States, I'd be very happy. They'll never do it. Old Tacoma. I mean, it's the Ranger has essentially turned into the same size vehicle as a Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
So if Toyota could do this to a Tacoma, I'd be like,
yeah, I want to do that.
Let's do it.
I want to do it to a Tundra.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there has a Tundra
mm-hmm.
and another like $40,000 that you want to spend on it,
yeah,
hit me up. Because I want to build a Raptor style Tundra.
Yeah.
And
I think Tundra would be a great platform to do a go fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. I have one that is from Mike and Max that they were talking about inside of their podcast that I recall.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And they were talking about drive shaft speeds.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one. Okay.
Right?
Go for it.
And they were talking about how if you shift in your transmission, does your drive shaft slow down?
Okay.
Do you recall?
I do.
And what's the answer?
Sorry. Mike was saying if you shift in your transmission, so you're shifting upwards or down.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter which other one. If you shift in your transmission, does your drive shaft change speeds? No.
No.
It does not.
And why is that?
Because your drive shaft is tied and directly tied into your differential, which is tied to your tires, which is tied to vehicle speed on the road.
Exactly.
So your transmission is what puts in all the gear ratios to take apart your road speed from your engine RPMs.
Right. The way I kind of explained it to them when I was writing it on a message on their Instagram was, look at it backwards for the most part. Don't think about it as, it's kind of confusing, right? If you think, well, I'm going to shift my transmission and my revs slow down.
Yeah.
Right. So that probably means that the drive shaft slows down. But no, it's not what's happening. If you think about it from the tires to an axle shaft to a differential, there's some gearing that happens right there in your differential, right? Mm-hmm. But that's a 1-to-1. Nothing changes there. I'm not a 1-to-1, but
it's a mechanical connection.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
There's no changing that gear ratio.
Correct.
Right. Then that hits your drive shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to your T case and transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So everything after your T case and transmission doesn't change down to the tires. Whatever speed that's doing is continuous.
Yeah.
You're shifting to change the revs of your engine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so when you shift, you're slowing down the engine speed, but you're not changing the drive shaft speed.
Correct. And your drive shaft speed is always tied to tire speed.
Right.
Yeah. So the crazy part to think about is if you want to figure out how fast your drive shaft
spins.
spinning, then you have to work your way backwards from your wheel speed, right?
Okay.
So because your drive shaft doesn't really depend on what's happening upstream of the transmission upstream, right? Or your T-case, I guess,
exactly.
In upstream.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all dependent on wheel speed.
Mm-hmm.
So you ready for math?
I am ready. Or really, is Dino ready?
Is Dino ready? All right, Dino, take some notes. Okay, so we're going to start backwards. If you're going, in order to know how fast your drive shaft is spinning at a certain speed, we're going to use 60 miles an hour because that makes the math easy, okay?
Okay.
So you have to start with how far does your tire travel in 1 mile? So in order to figure that out, you have to know, we know that a mile is 5,280 feet.
Okay.
So we need to figure out what is the circumference of a tire. So let's take a 35-inch tire. That's a true 35. We're just going to assume it measures 35 inches diameter.
Right.
The circumference of a 35-inch tire is 2 pi r. That's the measure, or the figure that out. So that would be 2 times pi times the radius, which 1750 comes out to 2 times pi times 17.5 is?
Dino says it's 109.9
inches. 109.9
inches.
So we got to convert that to feet.
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's say
110.
110, Dino. So 110, what's that, divided by 12?
Yep.
That's 9.16.
So your tire will travel 9.16 feet for one rotation.
Yeah. So we're more or less 9 feet.
So for one rotation of your tire, you go 9 feet.
Okay.
And so how many rotations does your tire go in 1 mile, which is 5,280 feet? So take 5,280 divided by 9.
So that comes out to 586.
Cool. So 586 times your tire will go turn around in 1 mile.
That's crazy to think about, but yeah.
Yep. And so now you take your gear, your differential gearing. We'll just say, because we're Toyotas, 529s.
529s.
So now take that rotation, was it the, you know, was a 500 something and times it by 5.29?
Mm-hmm.
What did we got?
We have 3,103.
So your drive shaft will spin 3,103 times in 1 mile.
Yes.
And since we're going 60 miles per hour, that's essentially in 1 minute is 1 mile, right?
Correct.
So you're in 1 minute, your drive shaft spins 3,103 times.
Right.
In 1 hour at 60 miles per hour, so take that 3,103 times 60.
Oh, geez. 186,208.
There you go. That's how many times your drive shaft will spin at 60 miles an hour with 35-inch tires and 529 gears in 1 hour at 60 miles an hour.
Right. Well, what's interesting...
186,000 times. Holy crap.
Yeah. That's well, what's interesting, so in going back to Mike and Max's question,
yeah,
if you have 35s
uh-huh.
and 529 gears,
uh-huh.
your drive shaft is spinning 3,103 times in 1 mile.
Yeah, in 1 mile.
Yep. In 1 mile.
1 mile in 1 minute at 60 miles an hour. In 1 mile.
Well,
yeah,
1 mile.
1 mile. That's it.
Yep. And it doesn't change.
True.
No matter how
True.
Fast or slow you go,
yep.
your drive shaft still spins 3,103 times
yeah.
in 1 mile.
I agree. Yeah.
The faster you go... The faster it's traveling that 1 mile.
The faster, yeah, exactly. The faster the rate, I guess.
Yeah, the faster your drive shaft is spinning to cover that 1 mile.
Correct.
But it's still only ever going that fast.
Yeah, that many times around.
Yeah.
There you go. So I hope we answered that for Mike.
And I just want to kind of say that what's crazy to think about is that you sitting underneath you or underneath your rig, you have something spinning
yeah.
that fast.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you go off roading and you ding it or dent it or bang it, and now you have a vibration,
uh-huh.
it's just that has always scared me.
Yeah.
As a thing that could potentially break and fly around
how
underneath your vehicle.
Potential energy
how
is
much
there.
Potential energy.
At a disastrous break. Yeah. I never thought about that way.
So think about that. And if you have a vibrating drive shaft, think about getting that fixed.
Yeah.
For safety.
I never thought of it that way. So now I'm afraid to drive Kermit fast. He's going to go back down to being a slow driver now.
All right, good.
All
and
right,
that
so,
was a little bit of a rabbit hole, but I think that's an interesting way to look at drive shaft speed. And thanks,
yeah.
Mike and Max. What's funny is on their podcast, they said they should ask us because we would know the answer.
We would know the answer
yeah.
and figure it out.
Because they were arguing which one. Mike was saying that the drive shaft changes when you shift, and Max was defending that it doesn't.
Yeah.
So Max was correct.
Nice.
Good job.
That's cool.
Alternative Mike.
Yeah. So cool. That was the rabbit hole. There was math involved with it. I thought that was fun to figure out.
Yeah. That was thanks, Dino, for typing that in for us and figuring those numbers out.
Coming out with all the numbers and holding them up for us. So cool. Next question was from Patreon, actually.
Oh, cool.
Namrebice on Instagram,
okay.
which is Cyberman backwards.
Yeah.
So, and this one might be another rabbit hole, so we might end up finishing up with this question. This might be the last one here, but, he said, "Hey guys," it's not really a question, but you'll figure out in a sec. "First of all, I realize that usually I listen to you when I'm driving, and of course that isn't happening as often as it used to right now. So I'm just catching up and listening to episode 82. He said, "One of Jimmy's suggestions during quarantine is to clean up wiring. He said, I just pulled out several years worth of add-on accessory wiring, and I'm rewiring them all to a relay box. Also adding power windows, locks, and mirrors from a second-gen 4Runner to his, I think he has a third-gen pickup.
Okay.
Second-gen pickup.
I don't remember.
Definitely something to pass the time and to teach patience. Keep up the great content and stay safe, guys. Mike, Cyberman. KC3MFW.
Oh, nice.
So, that brought me into saying we're actually going to be kind of doing this similar project to Bobcat here over the next couple of days. So we're going to be going in and cleaning up, Bobcat's wiring and adding in some accessory lighting and switches. And you're going to finally put it in an aftermarket switch panel in there, through all of your investigation, but we're going to be all doing it kind of homebrewed. We're making our own kind of relay switch panel with it all.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I have found some cool switches. And then I've got, I found a nice little switch panel, like, setup that will fit right underneath my radio.
For the second din, the bottom, one of the dins.
Yeah, the second din. So if you're running a dual din radio setup, then this doesn't work for you. But a lot of with the people that have the single dins have this sort of pocket there that's almost unusable. I throw my wallet in it occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, but what I like about it is now it's going to be, I'm going to have a function for it.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little far to stretch to hit some of the buttons, you know, if the seatbelt locks up. But I think it'll work out great. I think the position of it will be fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to set up some, rock lights on it.
Yep.
And I want to set up the lights that are going to go onto my knuckles.
Okay.
For it.
The wheel every weekend lights.
Yeah. Yeah. We could say that they've done that to their rig and I really like the idea. So I want to set it up on mine.
Yeah.
Plus, I have some lights to use for that. So that
explain
works
that. So it's essentially a pod. It's like a little 4x4 cube pod, or it's 2x3. 2x3. Okay.
So 2x3, six lights total. Mm-hmm. Six LED pods. And I'm going to weld a little bracket onto the steering arm.
Okay.
And then I'm going to bolt the pod onto the steering arm.
So now whenever you turn on top of the steering arm and the knuckle, the lights are going to turn into the direction that you're turning.
Absolutely, yes.
That's
exactly.
Funny. That's cool.
So I can get light in while I'm turning the vehicle around, or it'll point in the direction of my turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So nice. That'll be fun. And then I don't know if we'll get to it at this point, but eventually I'm going to set up, and it actually doesn't really fall into the circuitry that we're going to lay out, but I'm going to set up some lights for the engine well.
Oh, nice. Okay. The engine bay. Yep.
But I'm going to probably just add a switch in the engine bay for that.
Yeah.
Because I don't really feel like, well, I'm going to pop the hood and then, come inside, lift the hood up and, you know, put the kickstand out and then walk back into the cab to turn the light on to then walk back to the engine. I'll just make a little switch inside the engine bay to turn those lights on.
There you go. Yep. Nice. So yeah, for that, you're going to have four switches.
Yeah. I'm going to eventually, my goal is to get four switches in there right now. I ordered four switches up. I ordered I got the rock lights. One, I got off-road lights, which are going to be the ones on the steering knuckles.
The turning lights, okay.
I got backup lights, which I want to put lights into the tailgate of Bobcat.
Okay.
So when I back up, I have some additional lighting. And then I have chase lights.
Yeah.
Which I want to get some yellow lights on the back of Bobcat eventually will, so while we're in a dusty trail ride, I can turn the chase lights on so
people
that
know where you are.
People
they don't
know
hit
exactly
you.
Where I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are the four switches I did. I don't know when I'm going to get to them all to complete it, but I now will have that setup ready to install. The DIN slot has six slots available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have four switches. I'm keeping two open, two on the outsides, I think I'm going to do, because eventually, who knows when, I want to get heated seats in Bobcat.
Yeah.
And I want to keep those DIN spots open for the switches to turn on and off or up and down heated seats.
Yeah. Nice. That'll be really cool. The goal is to essentially create our own relay panel box where we can kind of hook up the accessories into the relay. So we'll set up all the relays. Either on a fender wall, the inner fender, or the firewall somewhere. We'll find a good spot or create a bracket to set up the relays on. And then make it so that it's on, connections that we can just take the accessory wiring and then just hook into the relays.
Right.
So all the relays will be ran to the switches. The power will all be run to them and everything. There just won't be any accessories hooked up to them. Except for the rock lights. That's the first project. And then we'll start adding stuff to the relays. And just that way, all we have to do is put the accessory on the light where we want it and then run wiring to the relay and it's all ready to go.
Exactly.
So, we'll be working on that project. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I love playing around with electricity, electrical circuits like that. So, I'm going to have fun with it.
And you'll hear more about it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday's episode.
Yeah.
So, and about how it goes.
Cool. So awesome. I think that just about does it. Dino's giving us kind of the time warning for the episode. So if you guys have any feedback, send it on over to Tyler or Jimmy at snailtrail4x4.com. If you are kind of like one of the people that wants to hear Dino talk on the podcast and you can try and convince him to talk on the podcast on a microphone, send that on over to us too, and we'll forward the emails to him and see if we can convince him on the microphones here. And then, yeah, if you guys have any other feedback, want to get in touch with us on Instagram, you can find Jimmy at snailtrail4x4 and myself over at 4x4toyota. Tyler, the assistant, is over at the_assistant_ST4x4. If you have any questions about how to properly make s'mores. And oh, Dino's waving some. He said that the episode from Willing Wine and Whiskey is episode 49. So episode 49 apparently is the one where Willing Wine and Whiskey was talking about the personalities and how you cook your s'mores.
All right, I'll have to double check that one.
So check that out. And yeah, any other feedback, send them on over. Keep those reviews coming into iTunes. We love reading them. We love hearing from you guys. And, we'll get more information updates out to you guys as soon as we know more about the, gear wrench tour, through the Central Valley here of California. So, any other ideas, things to spread other than COVID?
Just kidding. Hopefully not.
Or herpes.
Keep your ear holes open about episode 100.
Ooh, that's right. We got to get all those done. So Jimmy and I are going to sign off and talk about episode 100. So do you have any final words for everybody?
Pinion speed.
Pinion speed. With that, my friends, keep crawling.
Okay, I got one for you.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
Why did the jockey take his saddle to bed?
I have no idea.
In case he had nightmares.
Oh. That's dumb. That was a bad one.